This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. Program, as always, being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen here on this Black Friday. Plenty to get to today. We've got a football game kicking off in, 1 hour's time as the Bears take on the Philadelphia Eagles in Philadelphia. 2 hours, my bad, 1 hour after we sign off. So 2 hours from now, still have plenty of time to get some propage in, and I do have four picks that I'll pop out here on this program within the next 30 minutes or so. We'll break down everything from Thanksgiving. Surprise, I went 0-3 on game picks, just straight up. I think a lot of people did. A lot of surprises yesterday. Some injuries as well. We'll break it all down. We'll talk Bears, Eagles, props, and data points. We'll take a look at the Opta AI projections as well. We'll chop it up with our guy, Ben Stevens, of college football, well, actually of VSiN, and he'll join us to talk his college football best bets for a big weekend here in college football. I know he's a big rivalry game guy. He's got something on Ohio State and Michigan. And then last but not least, we'll pop out our Week 13 Best Bets. The program is brought to you by Better. Better Picks is the daily fantasy sports app where you turn your sports knowledge into real cash fast. Download Better. Visit better.app now. Sign up today. Get a free $10. No deposit necessary. Also, make sure you download the Prop Points podcast wherever the hell you get your pods, Apple or Spotify. Well, let's take a look at the betting recap. Spoiler alert, we went 60%. We had three best bets for all three games. They all hit, and I'm still pissed. Let's take a look because we got pinched a little bit here. I was very confident on that Patty Mahomes prop. I was actually on VSiN yesterday during the Lions-Packers game. I popped that one out, and I reiterated it all. It did happen. We got it by 10 yards. Pretty comfortable win. How about the Joey Burrow one? You know, I am officially, I do have one under, but technically week 13 concludes in December. So I think we're done with November because we lost two props, two unders on basically the last play for these two players. So, I mean, you can't make that up. That's happened to me once. Once in like 800 tries, it was Allen Robinson. Ironically, I ended up doing radio with him six weeks later. I took a little over like 8.5 yard prop on a rando Thursday night in 2023. Allen Robinson, he's goose egging me, and he last play of the game, he caught a 21 yarder. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's the only time that's ever happened. We have lost plenty, though, on the other side of it, like Joe Burrow. Well, it was in retrospect kind of a dumb call, I guess, but he didn't get the prop until his second to last throw of the game. And man, the Ravens, they are awful on defense. You got to give some credit to Burrow. He looked like he didn't have a layoff, but I also would blame the Ravens because he looked like he didn't have a layoff. I mean, they can't stop anything. So they are not going anywhere. They're done. Like, they may still win the division, but it's over. I'm proclaiming their season over. They're not winning the Super Bowl. Sorry. Neither are the Chiefs, by the way. We win the Xavier Worthy prop. Maybe you could argue maybe we got a little lucky on that one. He was a little bit more active, but they did hit that big play down the field. But that was also part of the analysis. I don't think they played as much man defense, but it kind of worked. I thought they'd play a lot of man, because if they didn't, they would risk getting torched by Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce. Pretty sure they played a lot more zone, and they got torched by Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce. But it still worked. So that was one of the reasons I like that prop, because I'm like, if they play man, then that's worthy. If they don't, it's still a decent schematic matchup. So I felt good about that. I thought I was feeling it with Jake Ferguson, and we were. But we had that touchdown called back. So we missed that by, 2 inches? And to add insult to injury, he came under the prop by 1 yard. So we were either 1 yard or 2 inches away from a 7-3 week. But we did get the best bet correct on the first game, which was Christian Watson. Ironically, that puppy was bet up like 10 yards. So over at fantasypoints.com, I precluded from going on, in on it and would have won. But I'll take the win here. Next up, Hollywood Brown. A little lucky here with this one. He had a couple balls early. But, I mean, after all, it was only 15.5 damn yards. He scores the touchdown, gets the prop. Chase Brown, I mean, geez, he had 7 catches on 7 targets. Even with Samaje Perine out there playing a plenty on third down as well. But the Georgie Pickens one, that one hurts because I thought it was ballsy. I was right about the analysis, except I thought he would see more of Trent McDuffie. But what happens is when you have a stud corner that maybe you want to travel once in a while, what you sometimes do is you put him on the secondary guy and then you double the primary guy. So I think what they did was they put McDuffie on CeeDee Lamb and then they kind of doubled and bracketed as best they could George Pickens. The analysis held up. I said, look, it's going to be a big Lamb game. He led the team in catches and in yards and he scored. It was a big Lamb game and it wasn't a George Pickens game for the first half. He only had 2 grabs for 20. I'm like, all right, here we go. Hashtag analysis. And then he caught a 39-yard catch and run, which is always my biggest fear. And perilously close. For a second there, it looked like I was going to win this by a yard. But no, last play of the game, last pass of the game, they threw a little ball to George, and he hits the prop. Now, we did win one where there was an injury. But my contention is that I still think this had a really, really, really good chance of winning, even if Amon-Ra St. Brown did not get hurt. It was a tough go. Again, it was all about the inside matchup. Green Bay is very tough inside. Javon Bullard is a big reason. Goff didn't have a big day. Green Bay kind of dominated. Goff got a couple big plays. They opened it up for J-Mo, and you know the yardage looked okay. But my contention would be that I still think this is probably 65-70% chance of hitting had he not gotten injured. So that's 3 times in a row. The first two were really bad where I take an under, the guy gets hurt. And you're like, oh, you got lucky with the guy got hurt. I'm like, yeah, he wasn't hitting anyway. So it's like a wasted injury. I mean, we don't want anyone to get hurt, but if they do, can we let them get hurt while we're taking unders? That did apply with Amon-Ra. And then finally, Mike Gesicki, didn't work out. I guess that's what I get for taking 2 overs on a receiving for a team and the under for the quarterback. But again, I thought it would be a lot of checkdowns and all that, and it kind of was. Chase Brown stole, I believe, a few targets from Gesicki, who comes up about 14 yards shy. We do not get lucky with any of the touchdown props. It's been a bad year for touchdown props. It's been a bad run, honestly, for our specials because we're almost always, not always, but we're almost always really, really close or on the right track. This one pissed me off just a little bit because, you know, it's the analysis. I did not think David Montgomery was going to go off, but A, I did think they'd win the game. That was really the crux of the matter. But I thought 50 yards was very, very doable. And to my point, this happened before. He was better in the running game than Jahmyr Gibbs. That was the analysis. He averaged 4 yards a carry. Jahmyr Gibbs only 3.4 yards a carry. The Packers have been kind of kryptonite to Jahmyr Gibbs. So I'm like, all right, I think they'll win the game at home. All we needed was probably another 3-4 carries. Probably would have got home. Xavier Worthy, again, I was thinking he'd make a big play, and he did. 42-yarder, but we came 9 yards too shy. But this one here, this Isaiah Likely touchdown, are you kidding me? He had it, obviously. Give credit to the defender. He did break up the play, but we were really, really close there. So we have one more under that I'm taking because I'm kind of done with these damn unders, even though we've been very successful. So no worse than 21-8 on unders here in November, but I do notice that week 13 does not officially conclude until Monday, which is December 1st. So we have pretty much wrapped up November. It is a smashing success. Once in a while, I set myself up to fail, which forces me to succeed. So I made a big deal out of November. Even dating back to last year, almost the entire offseason, I'm talking about November. So I'm like, well, you better get good picks in November or else you're a big jackass. And, well, we did. We went 21-6 or 21-7 right now. I guess 21-8 would be the worst record we could pop out. We will look through some injuries quickly here before we sign off. Top five injuries for the week. Well, number one, Todd Bowles in Tampa saying that Baker Mayfield today looked good, trending toward a start. The Bills have ruled out both starting tackles, Deion Dawkins and Spencer Brown. I was considering a Khalil Shakir prop, but I'm not going to go there. The Cardinals have ruled out Trey Benson, also Will Hernandez on the offensive line. Jackson Dart, of course, clearing the concussion protocol. That is all we have in terms of the news coming down the line here on a Black Friday. We'll step aside. We'll turn our attention to college football on the other side. We're going to do college football in 15 minutes at the bottom of the hour. When we return, let's take a look at our data points and everything of note relating to Black Friday football as the Chicago Bears travel to Philly to take on the Eagles. That is next, and I'll make official prop picks. I have four of them for today's game coming at you next here on a Friday edition of Prop Points on VSiN.
Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Think you know sports? Then it's time to start getting paid for it. Better Picks, the daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge is turned into real cash fast. Here's how it works. Download the Better app. You pick more or less on your favorite player stats. And if your pick hits, you win. Right now, new users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. But when you do deposit, you can get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Better has year-round action on NBA, WNBA, MLB, soccer, UFC, golf, and more. So head on over to better.app, that's B-E-T-R, or download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Don't forget to use the promo code VSiN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus today. And welcome back to a Black Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. Football game kicking off in an hour and 44 minutes in my old hometown, or at least area. I actually lived in New Jersey, but only 10 miles across the bridge from Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. So we'll get into some data points and the like here, and I will pop out some props. 90% chance it happens in this segment, by the way, because, well, we've little weird, not used to having a game day on a Friday. It's kind of hectic here with Thanksgiving. You got a trio of games compared to one normally. Then you got a Friday game. This is a little much. Plus, I'm tired from eating turkey. But I will pop out four. And the football gods and the fantasy gods, if you're watching or listening, it's just me and you here now. You guys owe me. So I need 4-0 tonight. That's what I need. So let's get into what we see here prop-wise. Caleb Williams, 206. 0.5. You know, it's actually a pretty good schematic matchup for Caleb, who averages 7.7 YPA, also 12 carries for 96 rushing on 203 dropbacks against cover three and cover six, which Philly runs about at a 50% clip. However, I'm very concerned. There is a real disconnect between fantasy and reality. There's a real disconnect between reality and reality, because the Bears, I'm sorry, their quarterback is not playing well enough for them to be 8-2. They are playing overall well. They're winning a lot of these close games, but on film, Caleb Williams is not playing well. Not nearly commensurate to his fantasy status, if you will. So not feeling warm and fuzzy about Caleb Williams in Philly here. Jalen Hurts, feel all right there. He's looking a little bit better, throwing it a little bit more these days, and also a pretty good schematic matchup for Jalen Hurts, if I can only find it. Here it is. Bears, they're also giving up the third most scheduled adjusted fantasy points per game to quarterbacks only in the running game, which certainly bodes well. He averages a decent 7.2 YPA with an 8% completion percentage over expectation against cover three and cover two, which they use about 50% of the time. Chicago also giving up the 13th most passing yards per game, fifth most rushing yards, by the way. So overall, pretty good spot here for Jalen Hurts. Now, Opta AI is over on Caleb Williams and is a little under on Jalen Hurts. Receiving props, A.J. Brown, 57.5, 4.5 grabs. Definitely considered some unders here with A.J. Brown. But I didn't go under. But what I did do, which you'll see in a moment, is correspondingly, I played a couple of overs because I don't think it's going to be much of an A.J. Brown game. He has been hot. However, poor schematic matchup. 1.54 yards per route run and 0.20, which is okay, but not great. Targets per route run against cover three and cover two, which again, they use about at a 52.6% clip. Chicago gives up the 13th fewest yards per game and the 13th to outside receivers. Now here's the problem. Top corner Jalen Johnson is back out since week one, but I think he'll seal out of A.J. Brown. Based on alignment numbers, that's exactly who he'll be on. And Jalen Johnson is one of the least targeted corners in football. I mean, he's played not even one game this year. But going back to last year, no one messes with Jalen Johnson. He's like, a lot of people don't even know who he is because no one throws at him. And he's like, it's like a tree falling in the woods sometimes with this guy. But I am banking on this not being an A.J. Brown game. For what it's worth, Decoy Metcalf only got 22 yards in this matchup last week. Opta AI, by the way, is a little under on A.J. Brown. Now, Devontae Smith, a.k.a. Skinny Batman, a.k.a. the Slim Reaper, his number is 53.5, 4.5. Wow, Opta AI is way over 67.7 on the yardage total. And spoiler alert, I am, you know, a human being, but I wholeheartedly agree with Opta AI. So we may have a Devontae Smith prop coming at you on the other side. You know, we may actually have a Roma Dunze prop, even though we're still a little hurt by losing by one damn yard last week. Not the greatest schematic matchup, by the way. He's only at 1.42 yards per route run against cover three and cover six. However, you know what? I'll save that for later because, spoiler alert, we're in on a Roma Dunze prop. Dallas Goedert, the number is 36.5. Opta AI comes in at 37. Very close. Catch total 3.5. Opta AI is, well, we don't have the catch total stuff on those. I'm sure it's close. I'm sure it's probably 3.5. Spoiler alert, we'll talk more Goddard at the bottom of this segment, quite frankly. DJ Moore not feeling it because based on alignment numbers, it's a good schematic, but he'll see a lot of Quinyon Mitchell. Not feeling that. Luther Burden, he'll see, you know, some tough matchups inside. I'll see a tough matchup inside. Do have the data points on Luther Burden. I kind of like Luther Burden last week, but he was okay. He did have, I believe, a phantom pass interference call or something like that. Not feeling it here with DJ Moore. He's from Philly, by the way, and he'll see a lot of Cooper DeJean. Philly, DJ Moore's from Philly. It hasn't meant anything. Back to Burden. Don't like him either. He's the one he'll see a lot of Cooper DeJean. So Burden and Moore will be on more often than not the top corners. Colston Loveland, I think he's going to be okay. It is a good schematic matchup. He averages over 3 yards per route run against cover three and cover six, but I still don't trust it because Philly has been tough against tight ends, and we still have Cole Kmet in the mix. Saquon Barkley, the receiving prop of 19.5, he could certainly hit that, but Opta AI is, where the hell's Opta AI at on that one? I'm not even seeing. Oh, that's the rushing prop. Let's look at the rushing props all over the map here on Black Friday. 79.5. Opta AI comes in lower at 69.4. DeAndre Swift, 39.5. He kind of lost his job to Kyle Manungai last week. 39.5. Opta AI comes in a little higher at 42. Jalen Hurts, 32.5. Opta AI comes in a little lower at 27. You know what? Without any further ado, I'm just going to pop out the good stuff here. Here are four props that I'm into tonight, today. Number one, Devontae Smith. We're going to go over. Now, I did find this on Fanatics about an hour and a half ago. It's not the greatest odds, but you know what? Every damn yard means something. So just inch on the chance that we're only at like 52, 53, I'm going to go with this one. Smith has the better schematic matchup and the better individual matchup. He's at 2.78 yards per route run against cover three and cover two, which they use over 50% of the time. Chicago gives up the fifth most receiving yards, third most yards per route run to slot receivers. He'll likely see a lot of Kyler Gordon, who was just activated, who was good, but that means he'll also mostly avoid Jalen Johnson, who's also great and also activated. DeAndre Swift. There's too many Smiths here and too many people with the initials DS. DeAndre Swift, we're going to go over 10.5 receiving yards, minus 110 at BetMGM. Might be losing his grip on the primary role in the backfield as Manungai led him in snap share and carry share. However, Swift did lead him in route share. Philly gives up the fourth most receiving yards per game to running back, so we'll do that over. Roma Dunze will go over 47.5 because I think he'll see, based on alignment numbers, a lot more of a Dory Jackson, who gives up a very healthy 0.38 fantasy points per route run. George Pickens crushed them last week. So I will go over on Roma Dunze, and I will also go over on Dallas Goedert, 3.5 receptions. Chicago gives up the 10th most receiving yards per game, fourth most receptions per game. I do believe that it'll be more of a Goddard game because they'll be avoiding Jalen Johnson on the outside with A.J. Brown, and Goddard has a really solid matchup here. So I think this will be a Goddard game and a Devontae Smith game, with Roma Dunze getting some receptions and some yards and DeAndre Swift catching a couple of balls. We'll talk college football next here on this Friday edition of Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Not a VSiN Pro subscriber yet? This is your best chance. Our Black Friday special is live, and for just $60, you'll get full VSiN Pro access to everything we offer all the way through May 1st. That includes daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings, Circa, and Bracco, AI-powered prop tools, and weekly wide receiver corner matchup edges, 24/7 video and replays on the VSiN Watch app, coverage of every major sport through the spring, football, hoops, March Madness, the NFL Draft, the Masters, you name it. The biggest new subscriber offer of the year is right here, right now. So don't wait. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. And welcome back to a Friday edition, a Black Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. We're going to go to the Progressive Guest Line as promised. Ben Stevens, co-host of Live Bet Saturday here on VSiN on the X machine at Ben Scott Stevens. How's that X account doing, Ben? And how are you? And happy holidays.
John, happy holidays to you. The X or Twitter account is doing well. No issues with any hacking or false logins in the last few weeks. So we are back. Hey. We are ready to go. It's a great Black Friday with a college football slate. We've got 13 FBS games, our first five already underway, John. So it's a great start as we continue the football and tradition throughout Turkey Day weekend.
Well, and you've got some propage here for us, and we'll start with Kendrick Racino of Arizona. You like the anytime touchdown at plus 140. Dude scored. He crossed the stripe last week, I see. Last time out. Yeah, last week. Three tutties last time. So what do you see here with Racino?
Yeah, four touchdowns in the last two games for Kendrick Racino for this Arizona football team. Five touchdowns, John, in total in the month of November. And this football game in the Territorial Cup, one of the longest standing rivalries in this sport of college football between the Sun Devils and the Cats, that actually sees Arizona as a slight road favorite tonight in Tempe, is not necessarily the highest. It's not 50s into the 60s or whatever that might look like. The over-under, though, does stand at 48 and a hook. I do think we can see some points, and I do think we see that on the ground for Arizona. If they are going to hit Pater, I think it's Kendrick Racino. And oftentimes when you have a guy, John, who has scored four touchdowns in two games, the odds makers in college football for those anytime TD prices start to update it where you see it in steep minus money. This is plus 140 for Racino to hit Pater for a third consecutive game. I like the plus money. I like the value tonight in the Territorial Cup.
I know you love your rivalry games, and big one this weekend, Ohio State at Michigan tomorrow at noon. I imagine you'll be on the air here on VSiN doing the live propage. But before kickoff, you're in on Julian Sain, the quarterback, 238 plus passing yards. You must expect them, the Michigan Wolverines, to give them a game in a big game, because, you know, I see last week playing my local university when I lived in New Jersey, Rutgers. He only attempted 19 balls. They didn't really need them. But what are you seeing here with Sain?
Yeah, John, it's a really great point. They have not needed to open up the offense for Ohio State the last 2 weeks. The ground game has been improved, which is crucial in the game against the Maize and Blue. Last 4 years, Michigan has outgained Ohio State in this four-game win streak in the game, in this bitter rivalry series, by an average of more than 121 yards per game on the ground. I think Ohio State will have that answer against the Wolverines tomorrow in Ann Arbor. But because of it, Julian Sain has thrown for fewer than a buck 85 through the air in the last 2 weeks. John, he was at one point a Heisman frontrunner alongside Indiana's Fernando Mendoza. He has moved back in that market. Prior to the last 2 weeks for Julian Sain, he had at least 303 passing yards in 4 of 5 for that Buckeyes offense. At times this year, albeit on the road for Michigan, they have allowed the opposing quarterback, in terms of the games that we have seen, John Mateer in Norman, 270. On the road in Los Angeles, Jaden Maiava, 265. Dylan Raiola, 308 in Lincoln, Nebraska. This game in Ann Arbor, inside the Big House. But I think if Ohio State is going to snap the four-game slide against their bitter foes in Michigan, and Julian Sain is going to get back in that Heisman Trophy conversation entering conference championship weekend, he has a big game against the Wolverines. 238 plus through the air for Ohio State's QB.
Do you know what I think of when I think of Ohio State and Michigan? This is going to surprise you. I'm not thinking about Woody Hayes or anybody like that, although I'm old enough to actually remember Woody Hayes. I think of earlier this year when Omarion Hampton went down. I thought that Hassan Haskins had built up a reservoir of goodwill with Jim Harbaugh because he scored five touchdowns against Ohio State, and I thought he would go over 30.5. He did not. So that's you just conjured up a negative memory here, but I'm just messing around with you. But that's what I think of. Yeah, let's move on. I have a term for you. I've brought it up before. I had to Google it. It's called nominative determinism. I mean, I can't even say it. Okay, this is a hard word, two words, and what it means is if you have a badass name, you are going to hit that ceiling. You are going to be badass, which leads us to King Miller. I think I may have brought this up with King Miller before, or somebody else with one of these nominative determinism. But you like 110 plus rush yards, a big number out of USC. What are we seeing here with King Miller?
A big number and a big game for the victory bell between UCLA and USC. And John, we are learning something here on Black Friday with the terms you are throwing out. Feels like the theory of relativity. We'll make this very simple for USC's running back in King Miller then against the Bruins. UCLA, after being one of the great stories of this college football season in October, has now lost four consecutive in November. And they've been getting gouged on the defensive side of the ball, averaging 45 points per game allowed here in the month of November in their last four. And three of four teams have rushed for at least 212 against the Bruins. The only team that did not was Nebraska, and their running back Emmett Johnson had nearly 230 total yards on the road in the Rose Bowl. USC has not won in the Coliseum against UCLA in now a half decade. I think they get back to the ground game on Saturday night and trusting in King Miller against the UCLA defense that frankly has struggled all year, but especially here in their last four games consecutively. So King Miller, with the nominative determinism, John, if I got that right, has a big game, 110 rushing yards at the very least.
See if I can do it. Nominative determinism. There it is. That's what it is. That's the term. So keep that in mind if you're naming your kids. Nominative determinism. So if you give them a badass name, they might become a badass person. Or if you nickname them, for example, Debo, when they're in the crib because they're a bully, they might end up being in the NFL and bullying people in that league. But last but not least, Joey Aguilar out of Tennessee. I see he was formerly of App State. You like him throwing three plus touchdown passes. Nice payoff here, plus 221. Did that about 3 weeks ago. Actually had a couple of games with three, so that's probably what you're eyeballing. Yeah. But what else do you see?
Yeah, 4 of 7 for Tennessee in SEC play. Joey Aguilar has had at least three passing touchdowns, and 2 of 3 against a ranked foe in SEC play. Oklahoma and Georgia, Joey Aguilar had at least three passing touchdowns. They are trying to knock off Vandy at home, the market favoring the Vols on Rocky Top as the Doors are trying to pull an upset against their in-state foes for the first time in a very long time. Joey Aguilar right now, John, is the leading passer in the SEC. The only guy entering week 14, our final weekend of the regular season, with more than 3,000 passing yards. Vandy has played two other quarterbacks in the top five, Arch Manning of Texas and Ty Simpson of Alabama. Both of those QBs, Arch had 328 through the air, Simpson had 340 through the air, Simpson two passing touchdowns, Arch had three. Vandy has been getting exposed in the secondary by the quarterbacks and the offenses that can move it and how they want to dictate their offensive scheme led by the passing attack. I expect Joey Aguilar to have a big game tomorrow on Rocky Top against Vanderbilt. And John, if it's 2+ touchdowns at minus 176, the juice a little pricey for my blood. We'll take the 3+ with a big plus money payout for Joey Aguilar, Tennessee's quarterback tomorrow in the in-state rivalry.
All right, great stuff there, and let's certainly they're not straight up plays here because, like you just mentioned, but let's hope for 3-1 because I've had a couple like 5-5 weeks. There's nothing worse than that. Well, actually, there is 0-10. That's definitely worse. But good luck with all the plays. Once again, happy holidays. We'll follow you on the X Machine at Ben Scott Stevens, and check out Ben co-hosting Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN. My official picks on the other side. I've got more props for Sunday's action, but first, if you think you know sports, start getting paid for it with Better Picks, the daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into cash. Sign up today and get a free $10, no deposit needed. When you do deposit, you'll get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Head to better.app. Use the promo code VSiN for your free $10 and your deposit bonus today. I've got a bunch of props for Sunday, but I'll also reiterate the four props I'm in on today's game here on this Friday edition of Prop Points on VSiN.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All righty. Welcome to the final segment of this Friday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN, this Black Friday special edition. It's special because we have a game kicking off in about an hour and 15 minutes. Real quick, Here are four props that I'm officially in on for today's game as the Philadelphia Eagles host the Chicago Bears. DeVonta Smith over 50.5 receiving yards. I got in on that at Fanatics. I know it's kind of crappier odds, but I feel really good about it. I'm not putting out something with these kind of so-so odds unless I feel really good. And, hey, we're losing props by a yard left and right over here, so every yard means something. But a lot of good schematics here. It's a better schematic matchup than A.J. Brown. It's a better individual matchup than A.J. Brown. And DeVonta Smith usually comes through for us. The Andre Swift, we're thinking it's kind of over for him as far as playing overs on rushing props. This is not a rushing prop. This is a receiving prop that I'm in on. 10.5. I mean, it's not that much to ask. Philly's tough to run on. They defend the zone runs that Swift excels on very well. So I think to get him in space, they're going to have to throw him a couple of balls here. And over the last 5 weeks, they give up the eighth most schedule-adjusted fantasy points per game to running backs in the passing game only. So I like Swift to at least get 11 yards today. Rome Odunze, I know he pinched us a little bit last week, losing a prop by 1 yard. But the number's good here at 47.5. I think he'll see, based on alignment numbers, a lot more of Adoree Jackson. And that's what you want. That's what happened with George Pickens last week. In large part, he crushed them for 146 yards. Dallas Goedert over 3.5 receptions again. I would like to do the yardage one because it's better odds, but these yards are so hard to come by, a lot harder than the catches, for God's sakes. So I think he'll catch 4 balls today, barring injury, because he'll be avoiding Jalen Johnson on the outside against A.J. Brown. All right, here we go. I have 9 props for Sunday, including a best bet. We are 8-3, I believe, is the record. Is that right? Maybe it's 9-3. On best bets. I believe that's what it is, 9-3. So we'll pop that out at the very end of the program. But first up, I'm going to go, look, when in doubt, let's just play all George Kittle overs, okay? Until he doesn't hit it, let's just do it. The Browns deploy single high looks at the second highest rate in the NFL. George Kittle easily leads the Niners in target share against single high, and he gets a 39% boost to his targets per route run against the shell, and a 35% boost to his yards per route run. Among 53 qualifying tight ends, his 0.32 targets per route run against single high easily leads the position. His first 2 games back, his average separation score over at Fantasy Points Data, aka his ass, was very negative, like mine, 0.056. However, that was the 8th worst among 92 qualifying tight ends. Since he's been heating up a little bit the last 3 games, unbelievable ass. Average separation score, it's up to 0.49, a top 30 mark. And for what it's worth, Christian McCaffrey's target share against single high plummets 19%. So this should be a Kittle game. Ken Walker, they're going to crush the Vikings. They're going to kill them. 65.5. Seahawks are the second most run-heavy team. They face a Viking defense that is a top 4 run funnel. Walker last week setting season highs in carry share and snap share. Always good to know. Minnesota gives up the 8th most rushing yards per game. And the 9th fewest receiving yards, for what it's worth. They have been hit for 20-plus carries by an individual running back in 3 straight games. And if Ken Walker makes it 4, lock it in. It's a win. They are also Minnesota worse against the zone runs that Walker excels on than the man-gap runs that he doesn't necessarily excel on. So a good schematic setup here for Ken Walker. Speaking of good schematic setups, we won a Puka over last week. Actually, we didn't do it on this show. I did it over at fantasypoints.com. It did win. And I'm going back to this well. 88.5. The Rams have the very high expected total in the game, 27.7. The Panthers run cover 3 consistently at a top 3 clip, and that means great things for Puka Nacua. He averages league high marks in yards per route run and targets per route run against cover 3, seeing a 29% boost and a 28% boost to his yards per route run and his targets per route run. Meanwhile, Davante Adams sees a 14% drop to his targets per route run against cover three. Last week, by the way, Puka's routes and snaps were up because they weren't going with as much heavy personnel because Tyler Higbee got hurt. By the way, across six games this year in which the Rams have faced cover three at least 35% of the time, which they will on Sunday, Puka is averaging over 20 DraftKings fantasy points per game. So he should crush. And then also crushing, it should be Courtland Sutton o'clock here. We're going to go over 50.5 receiving yards. Not a bad odds here at minus 113 over on DraftKings. DC, it's a good schematic matchup for Courtland Sutton. They run cover three and cover one at a 52% clip. Cover one is man-to-man. That's good for Bo Nix, and it's good for Courtland Sutton. The Commanders give up the third most yards per target at 10 to outside receivers, third most yards per reception at 15 to outside receivers. He'll see a lot of Mike Sanders still, who is giving up the second most fantasy points per route run among 90-plus corners on the board this week. Now, I think Sanders still is actually pretty good, but they're asking him to do way too much. You know, he should probably be their slot corner. He's playing outside. So I like Courtland Sutton to come on. Got to get to 51 darn yards in this one. I'm going to go in next on Harold Fannin over 35.5. The Niners have allowed by far the most schedule adjusted fantasy points per game to slot receivers over both the whole season and also the last five games. Harold Fannin has run the most routes from the slot of any Browns player over the last 5 weeks since the new offensive coordinator took over the play calling, or since the OC took over the play calling. He's got 4+ grabs in 6 of his last 7 games. The 49ers run the 5th highest rate of cover 1, and he averages a very good 2.62 yards per route run and 0.32 targets per route run against the coverage. San Fran gives up the 11th most receiving yards per game and the 11th most receptions per game. 2 tight ends, no linebacker Fred Warner. I know that it is Shedeur Sanders, but he was checking it down left and right last week as they used designed plays to get him completions. And that's Harold Fannin's deal. Love this one, too. I probably should have it a little higher on the list, quite frankly. Oronde Gadsden over 44.5 receiving yards. I have so many different good points on this. The Chargers, well, let's just go to this. The Raiders deploy cover three at the NFL's highest rate. Cover three has clearly been Justin Herbert's best shell to attack. He ranks top 7 in fantasy points per dropback against it. Ladd McConkey, though, sees a drop in his targets per route run against the shell. Meanwhile, Gadsden sees a 40% boost to his targets per route run against cover three. His 3.61 yards per route run against these looks that we'll see is ranking behind only Puka Nacua, Drake London, Tyler Warren, and Jackson Smith and Jigba. And most of those dudes are wide receivers other than, you know, the fellow rookie Warren. So, I mean, we're looking really good here. He's got a full-time role for this offense, not really feeling it with the other receivers, quite frankly. Next up, RJ Harvey. I love this. DC's in trouble. They're giving up the 9th most adjusted yards before contact, the 5th most rushing yards, and the 9th most receiving yards. So in case Sean Payton wants to be, you know, tricky with us and work in Jaleel McLaughlin or whatever, this is a great opportunity to get RJ Harvey a lot of work as you gear up for the playoffs. So I like this over 72.5. And then the final under we'll do is 61.5 for Rico Dowdle. In their losses this year, in their 10-point underdogs, Rico has run for 38, 53, 54, 32, 9, and 12 yards, which leads us to our best bet for the week. Stay tuned. Money Moves with Jonathan Von Tobel at 2 Eastern follows this program. Mike Palm checks in from Circa Sports, and Will Hill shares his sharpest sides. Plus, Zach Cohen breaks down the NFL and NBA betting opportunities heading into the weekend. The best bet is Breece Hall over 18.5 receiving yards the last 2 games with Tyrod Taylor. He has a 15.6% target share, which is 4th best among all running backs, and they give up the 11th most receiving yards per game to running backs. They should be playing from behind. And Breece Hall is Mr. Explosion, had a long catch and run last week. Those are the plays. Good luck with them all, and we'll catch you Monday for another edition of Pop Points right here on VSiN.